and from the dead. Compassionate Lord, a world is waiting and hurting, longing, searching for hope, crying out for meaning, hungry for some reason to believe in the future. We'll come again in your living power and bring new life to all. We remember especially those places where there are real fears for people's safety, and for those places where people may have forgotten a time before fear, such as Ukraine and Gaza, and Myanmar, and Haiti, and Sudan. God, help them and us come near a place and time without pain and mourning, where there will be no more tears. And on this Easter day, we remember to your care our families, perhaps far from here, who are celebrating as we do, but miles, many miles apart. Comfort all who miss family and friends at this time, and help us feel united in faith and love. Restoring, Lord, we now name before you those people and situations we are particularly conscious of. Friends and family members whose life seems to be running out. And all who are struggling with mental health. Anyone who seems imprisoned by the past, those who are fearful of rejection or missing out of what the future may hold. And all who are anxious over work undone or not having enough to do, God, come to them with the joy of your presence. And eternal Lord, before your face the generations rise and pass away. And we praise your name for all your servants departed this life in your faith and love, and all whose wisdom and courage have led to the flourishing of our community. Encourage us by the example of our faithful mothers and fathers of the faith, that we may run with resolution the race which lies ahead of us, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, till we come at last with all whom we have loved to the joy and peace of your eternal presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Friends, our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. Hear the word of God. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" And when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is a place they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee, where you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. This is the gospel of Christ. Thanks be to God. Friends, It's the natural inclination for many to want to leap from Palm Sunday's hosannas to Easter's hallelujahs, right? And try to bypass Gethsemane and Calvary. I have to say, I'm grateful to be in a community of faith where we remember and attend to the whole of Jesus' saving work and choose to walk in his steps amid an expectant parade of pilgrims, to a table of bewildered friends, to a garden of tears, a traitor's kiss, a stacked court, a merciless beating, and an agonizing death. And while we acknowledge that there is cause today for much joy and celebration at Jesus' triumph over sin and death, please understand that another common, very common, and perhaps an even more prominent response to new life and resurrection, whether it be 2,000 years ago or this very morning, is fear. And fear seems to be the most prominent theme in our gospel lesson this morning. You see, the Sabbath is over, and it's early in the morning. It has been a Sabbath that's marked by tears and fears and guilt and questions and sleeplessness. The friends of Jesus had lost the one they loved, the one they thought would bring new hope, not just to them, but to the whole world. Their best friend was dead, and hope had been snuffed out like a cheap candle. The first day of the week was also, as we know, the first day of a new world. But new beginnings, new opportunities are not always joy-filled and comforting. Yesterday's guilt and failure, its hurt, its dashed hopes and dreams, tenaciously cling to life in consuming gasps. And then add to these the uncertainties of the perceived obstacles of the future, and you find three grief-stricken friends, Mary Magdalene, Mary, Jesus' mother, and Salome, doing what came naturally. They were practicing faithful presence, doing what they could in this angst-filled moment. So at the first opportunity at sunrise, following the Sabbath rest, they go to work. After all, someone had to anoint the body. And then while the men do what comes naturally, fearing for their lives and locking themselves inside, waiting for a chance to go back to the familiar, these brave women tend to be very upfront about their fear. And on the way they talk, it dawned on them as they walked together in the dawn's light, another question in the plethora of questions that were bereft of answers. Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb? They queried one another. And when they arrive, their grief is overcome by fear. The stone has already been moved, and there's no body to anoint. In alarm, they see that someone is sitting inside. And the angel says, "Don't be afraid." Right? "Never mind," he said. "Don't be afraid. Never mind that he said, go tell his disciples and Peter. They were scared. So they did what came naturally. They ran away and said nothing to anyone. And we came here today doing what for many of us comes naturally. We come wearing our best. We sing songs of joy and thanksgiving exuberantly. We shout, he is risen. We bring flowers to friends and to relatives, and we eat and celebrate together. It is, after all, it's Easter Sunday. And living generations following the event, unlike Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome, we know the rest of the story. The story that they didn't know quite yet. And yet part of what comes naturally with this magnificent and incredible resurrection is the fear that the two Marys and Salome knew. This resurrection is no small natural thing. The resurrection is about God, Almighty Eternal God, coming to earth and overcoming the powers of sin and death. This is about Jesus Christ, Son of God, who loved us enough to do it. It goes beyond our understanding and our attempts at celebration. And some of us want to run away because it just can't be. It goes against everything we think is true. Does faith in Christ and what he has accomplished encourage and comfort us? Or does it confound and terrify us? When I first heard Josiah's testimony, I have to say that I was not at all surprised to hear how much of his reception of the good news of Jesus, the gospel, elicited fear. I remember hearing the story of an adult person who had been born blind. And upon receiving some cutting-edge surgery that gave him sight, you could imagine how wonderful and literally spectacular it would be. However, I was surprised to hear how terrifying it was and how much he wished he could be blind again, because it meant having to learn to live in a whole new way. And I remember some years ago receiving a call at the church from a frightened man who had himself held up and secluded himself in a local motel not far away. And he told me how he had just been released from prison, and he'd lived in for many years. And he related how wrought with fear he was. He was saying, I'm contemplating reoffending. I want to go out and do something and get caught so they'll take me back. He was petrified. And he didn't know how to navigate his freedom. He was afraid to go outside. And I met with him at the motel, and having gained some trust with someone on the outside, he made a brave step and joined our family at our dinner table. The question that Easter provokes for me, and one I would like for us all to consider today, is this. Are we people shaped by the past, or people shaped by a future that God has opened up for us? In Luke's gospel account of the resurrection, we find the women being asked this question: why do you seek the living among the dead? And this too is a good question for us. Why do we keep returning to the places of death? Gambling, alcohol, affairs, stealing, dishonesty, cruelty, self-centeredness, violence, indifference. Why do we continue to revisit old sins, old death-dealing habits, when in baptism we were called and brought forth into new life? Why do we continue to poke around among the dead when we can live in the joy of new life? Friends, it's no wonder then that we find the Apostle Paul saying that we work out our salvation in fear and trembling, right? And a shaky start is our natural response to the good news. The good news that we are afraid is too good to be true. The gospel writer Mark reminds us, oh, sure, you're frightened. So were the earliest group of Christians. So it's okay to be a bit frightened and confused. And on this day, we see God, who has done what comes naturally. Out of God's enduring, everlasting love for us come the words, he's been raised. He's not here. Go and tell. And so naturally, the story continues, and God invites us. His trembling, amazed, and bewildered children to begin again and live and remind one another that he has indeed gone ahead of us, and we will see him just as he said.